our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 217, all the stanzas. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1-4 of Psalter 217.
The portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon, you can find recorded in the Acts of the Apostles and of the third chapter. Acts chapter 3, but first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. And seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God had raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name, had made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him had given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I would that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shown by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he had so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before you was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear at all in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And to you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is so good that we may gather together in this afternoon hour once again in thy house of prayer. Thy servant did say that I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. One day in thy house, that is better than a thousand, and we may be gathered with our children and our grandchildren in this afternoon hour. It is thy holy day, and we come to the place where thou dost promise to be, and when two or three are gathered in thy name. O Lord, there is an expectation that is living in our hearts. Oh, we look up unto thee in this afternoon hour, and we ask of thee, we beseech of thee, that thou may come and that thou may come with us in thy house in this day, that thou may gather with us, that we may feelingly and believingly know it, that we may also experience thy favor and thy blessing. We do not deserve it. Not one of us, from the least to the greatest, from the youngest of us to the oldest of us. For thou knowest all our hearts and all our lives. Oh, we have left thee days without number, and our hearts, they are so of the earth, earthy, and cleaving to everything that is carnal and sensual and passing away, and that is so vain. Oh, that we have no thought of thee so often all the day long. Oh, Lord, thou art able to make a difference in a moment. We ask it of thee undeservedly in this afternoon hour. Oh, could it be for the first time in the life of this one or of that one, even in this day, that goes all his life long careless over this world, with a form of religion but denying the power thereof, never felt anything under that word of truth, for whom it has always been a dead letter, has read it as so many times, out of form, out of custom, dutifully, and Lord, then to remain dead. Oh, what an awful, awful state and condition. Oh, we beseech thee that the preciousness of that word may be experienced even in this very hour, that thou wouldst come with thy Holy Spirit, and that thou may speak even with a still small voice, that whisper in the ear to say, this is the way, walk ye therein. O Lord, that thou may lead us into all thy truth, and wilt thou be gentle with us, because if thou dost deal with us according to our many sins, then we would be consumed in one moment, and we cannot bear thy just wrath and hot displeasure. That thou may look upon us in and through, thy dear, thy only begotten Son, thou art so well pleased in him. We see in him no form, we see in him no beauty of ourselves, but he is precious unto thy people only because thou dost make him so, only because that he does reveal himself in their life and in their heart. Remember them also, when they must say from the land beyond the Jordan, I bewail my misery. From the foothills of Mount Hermon, my God, I think of thee. Long, long time that they have been away. Lord, could it please thee to come again? Thou who art able to bring again, to draw again, to put away the devices of the enemy which drive away. That thou may give, that they may experience something of thy favor, of thy love, of thy goodness, even unto those who have sinned against thee. Look upon those who are living under temptation, who do say that there is nothing there for me, even as Ruth did hear that voice. And so there are those that do hear those voices within to say, go back now unto thy own people, because there is in that land for thee nothing. There is no future there for you. That is all for God's people. And you are not one of those people, and you shall never be one of those people. Lord, remember them under the temptation, that they may be given that strength, even to say, entreat me not to leave thee. Do not say it anymore, because thy people, they shall be my people, and thy God, that shall be my God. That thou may give that faith to live, to burn, to be born, and to work mightily in the hearts of those who do long, who do yearn for thee. Look upon us, when we are even as a hypocrite. Remember, because, Lord, we read in thy holy word that even the Pharisees, some of them believed in thee. That is the greatest wonder. We read of a Pharisee, even of a Saul of Tarsus. Then he was so above all that poor people. And then he did persecute that poor people. And then he was a man of religion. He was satisfied with himself. A people, they can be among us too. Lord, thou knowest what can live in our own hearts. Then we are so rich and increased with goods, and we have need of nothing, and do not know that we are poor and naked and blind and miserable. Could it please thee to come and bring such a man in this afternoon into his wretchedness and into his poverty? When thou wilt appear unto such, then we will come upon the ground, because we cannot die as a Pharisee. Then we will go to the place of the Pharisees. Lord, remember us all together in whatever state, whatever condition that we may be in this day. Thou dost know. We do not know the hearts of men. The boys, the girls, they are so young. Lord, could it please thee in the days of their youth to give in their hearts an earnest yearning for the God of the true people of the Lord. That holy jealousy to be born in them that will keep them from much sin in this world, and will draw them by the power of thy Holy Spirit to desire to walk along, to run along, and to say unto thy people, what is now thy beloved more than another beloved? Oh, that they may desire in the days of their youth to search that holy word of God, that they may be given to see a little light there that is shining out of that word, and that they may keep their eye on that light. Oh, that they may bow their knees with that word of God before them in their secret places in their bedrooms. Oh, that they may, that thou may hear a cry, a little cry from the youngest one in our midst, and that may come up into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, because thou art great and thou dost sit upon thy throne, but thou dost behold all the things that are done in the heavens and in the earth, and thou knowest even the ants and even the worms of the earth. O Lord, remember them then who are for themselves at the ends of the earth and who cry unto thee. Lord, look upon us. Look upon us as a congregation. Wilt thou come in the days that we live also? Our fathers, they could testify of the power of thy most Holy Spirit. And we can read how thou didst work so mightily in thy holy word, but also in the lives of our forefathers. And thou didst lead thy people into the depths of that truth and into the blessedness of the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Oh, they were given to see so much beauty, to be able to say from the bottom of their heart, oh, that he is white and he is ruddy. He is the chiefest among 10,000. Lord, we need it with our children too, and we cannot give it unto ourselves. It all belongs to thee. Thou sayest in thy word, and thou art the same, O Lord, yesterday, today, and forever. Show it then unto us. O be unto us a God, that we may be unto thee a people. Remember all the afflicted, all the sorrowful, all the needs that were laid before thee in order in this morning hour. They remain the same in this afternoon hour. Remember all those that need thee in special ways, and deliver us, O Lord. The miseries, they are right when thou dost bring them upon us. It is our own fault. It is our own sin. Give it to be felt. Give it to be experienced. But, oh, give us to also experience that thou art a God full of compassion. Oh, that thou hast bowels, that thou hast a heart for those that cry out of their deep need, and that we may be given with thy servant to say that he took me out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he has established my goings. Lord, hear us. Do it for thy name's sake. Forgive all of our many sins, not only those of long ago, but even those of today, even those of these very moments. Wash us and cleanse us in that precious and that all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. Glorify, magnify thyself for thy own name's sake. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 226 all the stanzas. O Lord of hosts, I cry to thee. Our Father's God, to thee. And let my petition reach thy ear, and my prayer accepted be. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 226, all the stanzas. beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven that is as a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, and the birds of the air lodge in the branches thereof. Such a seed that is very tender. Such a seed cannot propagate itself. All the conditions, they have to be just right. In that soil, the warmth, the moisture, everything has to be just right in order for that seed to propagate. That is really a miracle. And it is yet so common. It is happening every day in our fields. And we take that so for granted. And yet it remains a miracle. It remains something to be wondered at. That such a small seed that is now to grow into such a plant that is the work of God Himself. What tree does the Lord Jesus speak about? He speaks about the tree of His own church. He speaks about the kingdom, He says, of heaven. That there is no kingdom that is greater than that kingdom. No, not of all the great kingdoms that have been from the beginning to the end of the world. And if the world should one day be joined into one nation, into one great kingdom, into one world order as the desire is, then that kingdom will never be as great as the kingdom of heaven. Do you believe that? And yet, that kingdom began so small. That kingdom began with but 12 men. You would say of those 12 men, well, that is going to come to nothing. That is like Gamaliel said of that Judas of Galilee. He said that he had a following. It lasted for a little time. And they were earnest followers, but nothing has come of it. So he said, if this is not of the Lord, then nothing will come of it. But, he says, if it is of God, then ye cannot overthrow it. So it has proved to be that kingdom of heaven that began to spread itself. We heard it on the day of Pentecost, one sermon, 3,000 people. And so we see that seed that is beginning to germinate. That is a foreboding of what will now take place in the future, in the last dispensation of this world. It will be through tribulation. It will be through trial. It will begin immediately. It will persecute that true church of God. And it will continue. They will be thrown to the lions. There will be a Roman Catholic Inquisition. And it continues even unto this very day. But that kingdom shall not end. It shall continue to grow until He is coming upon the clouds of heaven. We wish to consider something of this with you in this afternoon with the Lord's help out of Acts 3 and there of the 16th verse. Acts 3 verse 16. And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So far the words of our text. Faith in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, set forth by way of a miracle. First, the man who is helped by this faith. Second, the blessing which is received by this faith. Faith in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, set forth by way of a miracle. First, the man helped by this faith. And second, the blessing received by this faith. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Who says that? That is Peter. Again, Peter. That is a wonder. How often we hear that Peter is speaking. And he is speaking about whom? Well, we read about his name. About whose name? We read that name. Well, many names. We read here that Peter calls him. He calls him his son Jesus. He calls him the Holy One. He calls him the Just. He calls him the Prince of Life. But especially in our text, when he is referring to this name, then he is referring to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, because that is now the name in which this man, he has believed. It is this name in which this man was healed. That is the name and by which also this man was so greatly despised while that he was here on this earth. That is a wonder that Peter speaks so boldly about this name. That does not lie in Peter, does it, children? Does not lie in Peter. Because you know there was a time that Peter, and when he heard that name and about that man, he saw that man and he was afraid even to say that he knew that man. Are you afraid to do that sometimes too? We are sometimes afraid when we come out in the world. And Peter, he was afraid at one time even to say that he knew that man. He said, I do not know him. And he cursed and he swore that he did not know him. That was not true. No, Peter did know him. And Peter, he loved him. And now it is so different. Now it is Peter who is speaking so boldly about this name, this Jesus of Nazareth, that was prophesied by the Lord Jesus already long ago. He said that you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and among all the nations of the world. You shall be my witnesses. You shall speak about my name. When the Lord calls a man to an office, he can be so afraid. Because he can say, I will not dare to speak. Maybe he says, my character is not a character to speak in front of other people already. Maybe he is like Moses. He says, I do not have a mouth to speak. And I do not know how to utter words. But when the Lord is calling a man, then he does not need to be afraid. No, because the Lord is speaking. And you see how what the Lord can do in the life of Peter. When he himself was afraid, then the Lord, he is fulfilling his own word. And he is giving that people a mouth and a wisdom that all the gainsayers, they will not be able to resist. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. To whom does Peter say this? Well, there is a multitude of people. Are they? They are in the temple of the Lord. They are in Jerusalem. And we see them, the Bible says, they are looking. And they are looking earnestly on whom? They are looking earnestly on Peter. They are looking earnestly on John. And they are wondering at them. Why? Because they have performed a miracle. It was a great miracle. It was something that was so far from normal. It was a great wonder. And they are now looking upon Peter and John. How? With great respect. They look to them. And they would honor them. It is something when you think about it, because the preaching of the apostles that was going to bring forth a multitude of people in the church of God, we see how that was begun with 3,000 people, 5,000 people, and so it will go over the length and the breadth of the whole earth. But it was not so, even in the time of the Lord Jesus himself. You say, who could preach like he could preach? You say, there were multitudes around him too. That is true. Sometimes. But then his words, they were sometimes too sharp for that people. And then they said, well, who can hear this? And then we read they went away. They all left him. There was only a few men standing around. They were his disciples. And then he said to them, will you also go away? Oh, they could not go away. He says, to whom else shall we go? Because thou hast the words of eternal life. No, those multitudes, they were not gathered in by the Lord Jesus himself. Because the Lord Jesus did not come to distribute the blessings. The Lord Jesus came for a different reason. The Lord Jesus came for a different work. And what was that work? That was the work of meriting. That was that he may purchase that salvation for his people. Then he had a great work to do. And now it was after that that work was purchased. It was after that his work was fully done that the Lord is promising that those multitudes, that church of the Lord that is going to be gathered in. And now the servants of the Lord, they are here receiving a certain honor. The Lord, he is honoring those apostles that is his own doing before this people. And what does Peter say? He says, we are really but only instruments. He says, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us? As though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk. What does he say? People. You look to the wrong people. You look to the wrong names. We have no power to do this. We are no more powerful than you are yourselves. And then he may begin to declare that name in which that there was power to do this work. Do you wish to know that name? Why? For what? Peter says, this was done for a man that you know. Whom you know. That is so important. Why? Well, these people, they knew this man so very, very well. And why is that important? Because they knew the state and the condition that this man was formerly in. Thus, this is a miracle that was done before the eyes of all of these people. That was for good reason, because this was not just in order that this one single man may receive a healing, that he may be cured again, that he may be able to walk again. But this is a declaration. It is a declaration of the power that is laying in that name that has cured this man. Thus, it is the proclamation of the gospel unto this people by the means of this miracle, something they can see with their eyes. Peter says, it is in the presence of you all. Peter says, whom ye know. Who was this man? Well, that was a man we read, he was lame. And he was not only lame, he did not only just become lame, but he was lame from his mother's womb. That means that this was the way that this man always was. That was from his very birth. That was a man who has never walked. He has never taken one step with his own legs in his whole life. Say that is a picture of utter misery. That is a man who could not help himself in anything. In nothing. As a child, boys and girls, he never walked like you do. He never ran, and he never played, and he never skipped, and he never jumped like you can. What do you think when he was young? When he was just beginning to learn and he began to see what other children around him did. Then he must have thought, oh, if I only also could do that. Maybe he has asked his mother, his father, can you bring me also maybe to the doctor? Is there not a way that my legs also can be made strong, that I can do just like everyone else is doing? And yet, when they may have tried this and may have tried that, then nothing has worked in the life of that little boy. I think sometimes he must have dreamed. Think so too, you do that too sometimes, boys and girls, you have a dream, a beautiful dream maybe. Can imagine when he was young, that he may have dreamt that he was, or maybe he woke up in the morning and he see his eyes there full of tears. And his mother says, well, why are you crying? He says, well, because I was dreaming. And I was sick. I saw myself, and I was running, and I was playing, and I was doing just like everybody else. And then I woke up, and it was a dream. And it was not true, and it is not true. And, mother, it's never going to be true. It's never going to happen. This man we read now here, he is above 40 years old. Thus slowly on, through his youth, young people, through his adulthood, then slowly on, then more and more it becomes a reality. And what is that? What is that reality? Well, that reality is that it is never going to become different than the way that it is. Lame. And this is now my life that is incurable, that is now outside of my power, that is outside of the power of all the doctors, all the physicians, that there is no one in this whole world that is able to help me. And here I am in my impotence. Whom ye know. Yes, that people did know him. Who was he? The homes, they say, the lame man. Yes, we all know him. Children knew him. Parents knew him. The lame man. He is the one that is sitting there by the gate of the temple. And every week, well, he has his hand out just for a little something, just for today. Will you help me? Oh, yes. They knew him so well, always sat there. They did not speak about him anymore. Sometimes they would give him something, and there he lay. Whom ye know, this is now the man whom Peter is speaking about. This is now the man whom Peter says that was delivered. Delivered by what? By the faith that is in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That is now the man who was delivered by a great miracle. Why him? Why him? Well, who else? Who else was there that could be helped? Who else is there that can be helped besides such a man as this man? All the rest, they don't need help. All the rest, they can walk already. In whom but such as a man as this can that name of Jesus of Nazareth be glorified? In whom but such as a man, such a man as this can the power of that name of Jesus of Nazareth be experienced in their life? Whom ye know, if you have never known such a man as this, if you have never known such a lame man, then do not think that you know the faith that is in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. If you have never known such a man as this, then do not speak about experiencing the power that is by faith in this name of Jesus. Because the Lord, he is instructing his church in their lameness. He is instructing his church in their lameness even from their mother's womb. That in the loss of their ability to love him, to serve him, to live for him. Oh, in the beginning, they hoped it would be different. Oh, they have looked for ways. They have looked for means that it would become different in their life. They have tried indeed to exert power in their own legs. And the legs of a man, oh, they have dreamt sometimes. They have dreamt of a different life. Oh, could I live a life that was so in the service of the Lord? Could I live a life that is without sin? Could I live a life as a true child of the Lord? Could I live a life, as the Lord says, with the treasure in heaven, that I could truly let go of everything that is in this world, in my heart? That I would truly be uprightly, honestly, as a pilgrim, as a stranger, as a sojourner in this world, then to experience that impotence, that weakness that is in their own legs. Whom ye know. Do you know such a man? Do you know such a man that is resigned just to begging at the temple gate of the Lord? Do you know such a man for whom it has just become simply, it is just become impossible? You say, I cannot take one single step. Truly, for the name of the Lord. I cannot live one moment without sin. Do you know such a man? Lame from his mother's womb, that has to look over his whole life and has to say there has not been one single act that was truly to the honor of the Lord. Do you know such a man who has given it up and who has to say it is just hopeless? It never was anything. It is nothing. It cannot be anything. I was born a lame man, and I shall die a lame man because I cannot change this heart. Do you know such a man who has just yet to place himself at that door of the temple of the Lord and is as it were without hope and without expectation anymore for a cure? No fruit from this tree anymore forever. And yet, to sit at that gate and to wait there, oh, just for a crumb of sustenance for one day more. Let us sing. 390. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry. And in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. In judgment do not cause thy servant to be tried. Before thy holy laws, no man is justified. All the stanzas of Psalter 390. our second thought, the blessing received by this faith, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. This perfect soundness, that is the blessing that he received. A perfect soundness. What is that? That is now the perfect healing of his body. That condition of his body is now completely unimpaired by any kind of a malfunction. That man, he is in good health, is what it means. A perfect restoration. What do we read? And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. He had never walked. Never. You have a little brother or sister, children, who has not walked. They're very young. They have to learn to walk. Stand on their feet. Takes a long time before they are steady. Once they are steady, they have to learn how to move their legs. This man never walked. There was a man in the hospital. Has not walked maybe for a year, and he is an older man. Then he has an operation and he will walk again. Once again, that man, he has to learn to walk, we say, all over again. And this man, he never walked in all his life, not one step. And now we read that he is walking and leaping and praising God. So we read of a restoration that is taking place in this man as a picture. It is taking place in this man in one single moment. And in one single moment, that man, he receives everything. That is now the restoration of that true church of God. Then they are receiving everything in one moment. You say, how is that possible? I don't read that of God's people. Because if I go in the Old Testament, I read about Noah. He was a converted child of God. And we read about his sin, his fault, his shortcomings. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Solomon. Solomon speaks about that in the Song of Solomon, that bride, her backsliding, she is laying on that bed of sloth. John speaks about it in the book of Revelation, that the Lord Jesus, he appeared to him. And he's speaking to the angels of the churches, the ministers of the churches. And then he is accusing his own people that they have left their first love. We read it also in the Bible. We sing it. The grief of God's own children. What is their whole life? I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face, the desire that the Lord would teach them his statutes, that he would make them to walk in the way of his commandments. You say, how is that possible? Then they are not receiving a complete restoration. Oh, it is true, all of this. And yet a perfect soundness is given to them. You say, that is a mystery. Indeed, it is a mystery. But what does Peter say? He says, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all, then it is true that in the practice of sanctification, and there is still something left for the people, because that old man, in the practice of sanctification, we see that all throughout the Word of God, read it in the doctrines, Paul, he writes about it, for this, he says, they must wait until this corruption that is putting on an incorruption, until this mortal shall put on immortality, for this they have to wait. And yet, in every respect, that true church of God, they are receiving by faith a perfect soundness in that name of Jesus of Nazareth. That faith, when that faith is in exercise, then it is receiving every blessing that there is to be received, that is flowing out of those merits that Christ has merited for his church when he was here upon earth. Every one of those blessings that is contained in him, that is flowing out unto that church. And it is in that exercise of faith that the people experience this. Because then they experience that there is actually nothing. There is nothing that is lacking unto them. What does the bride say? She says, I am black. So she remained in herself. But she says, comely. Comely. How is that possible? Well, then it is that comeliness that is in that bridegroom, that is imputed unto her. And she saw this. She saw this by a true and a living faith. And when that people may see this in that exercise of faith, then they may understand what the Apostle Paul says. He says, and such were some of you, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Again, he says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Again, he says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Thus we see that holy chain is in the Bible a doctrine. Learn that, boys and girls, in the catechism class. You know what the most blessed thing is when a person may experience it. That blessed chain. That the Lord, he is not doing half work. But when the Lord is coming, that the Lord, he is bringing everything along in the life of that people. And now that is such a wonder for this people who have to experience that lameness. That lameness from their mother's womb. And when they may see it, when the Lord may open it to them, when the Lord may reveal it in its smallest measure, oh, then they are going with this man into the temple, and then they are walking, and they are leaping, and they are praising God. Oh, by faith they receive everything. Peter says that is in this name, it is by faith in this name, and he says also by this name. Oh, how precious is then that name unto that people. You can understand it. That name of Jesus of Nazareth that was despised by so many people in that time. Read it over again, young people. When you come home, you see how that there were such enemies of that name of Jesus of Nazareth, but now to this people who are so impotent. Oh, they love him. What does David say? He says, by my God I have run through a troop. By my God I have leaped over a wall. Then it is through him that they can do everything, O congregation. What do we know of the faith that is in this name, Jesus of Nazareth? There are so many people and that are claiming that faith that is in this name. Be careful that we do not deceive ourselves. Because how often can we not hear the impotence that they may have experienced, and then congregation, it cannot be true. Young people, I hope you may always remain under the truth. Maybe some of you, and you will end up in places in this world where you will hear that name of Christ. And then you know what they are saying. You know what they are saying. They are saying, God helps those who help themselves. Young people, listen a moment. You understand it. God helps those who help themselves. And when you hear that, then you must flee. Then you must flee. Because that is not the truth. How would it have been for this man? He could not help himself. How is it for all of those of God's true church who cannot help themselves? You know what the Bible says? That God, he sent a Savior into this world. You know what a Savior does? A Savior helps those who cannot help themselves. That is now the only way that he can receive the honor. That is now the only way that he can receive the glory. Oh, never despise, young people. Never despise the lame. The lame from their mother's womb. Do not despise those who cannot get on so easy in that new life. Do not despise those who cannot get on with a hop and a skip and a jump to the highest steps of grace. Do not despise them. Why not? Because the Lord says, that is my people. He says, I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and a poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says, as having nothing, ask the people, they will say, I have nothing, and yet possessing all things. That is now the people of the Lord. Do you know such a man? Do you know such a man? Because for such a man, there is hope. For such a man, there is hope in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, make us such a man, because we are members of Help Yourself. And thou dost not delight in the legs and the strength of a man, but thou art almighty and wilt be glorified in thy own strength to help the poor. Remember them in our midst, and wilt thou make us also young and old together, that we may learn the reality of our deep fall, the reality of our state and our condition, slowly, day, by that heartfelt experience, disappointed with ourselves over and over again, that we have to smite upon our breast, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and that as such a man we may go down from God's house justified. Oh, take reasons, Lord, out of thyself. Dismiss us with thy blessing, that we may acknowledge thee. For the help that thou hast given unto us in these days, wilt thou receive the honor and all the glory, and could it be that there may be a blessing left behind. Be with us in the week to come. Help us as a consistory as we hope to gather for a meeting. Remember us as we hope to gather with those two friends who hope to be united in that bond of holy matrimony. Oh, that we may receive a good day together also in their midst. Keep each one in our places in this world. Teach us to live as strangers and sojourners here below. For Jesus' sake, amen. 280 stanzas 1 and 2. O my soul, bless thou Jehovah. All within me bless his name. Bless Jehovah, and forget not all his mercies to proclaim. 1 and 2 of Psalter 280.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.